Good morning, New Life family. So good to see everyone. Looking forward to delivering this good news to you today. Daddy loves you. You're his kids. And he's got great big plans for you, even bigger than you can imagine. Somebody's saying, well, I want to start imagining that now. Amen. We're talking about what do I really need today? What do I really need? Let that just kind of settle in your spirit for a moment. I'm going to give you a quick advertisement. Next week, after service, we will be beginning a Activate message group. And that's an important group because I come here 33 years ago to encourage people to join with Jesus and walk with him. And God gave me vision, and that's all I had. And I just kind of hung out with the vision and started encouraging people that were hurting and needing something that they didn't have. Amen. And questions do come. Do you understand that? You have questions. And I've been recognizing there's questions after the service on Sunday, and there's several more that won't come and ask for answers and for whatever reason, but we're going to make it as convenient as we can for all the guests and anyone else that may have questions to about the message, amen, to meet with the speaker and elders and leaders in the conference room. So we can just sit down and have a group setting. Amen, and let's talk about what the Lord is saying. Is that okay? Now, I'm not here to reveal or prove anything to anybody. Now, the temptation is that I'll try to convince you on something. And you might agree with me for a moment and get some of that oxytocin that comes with it. Yeah, I had thought about that before. But I want to encourage you. God is bigger than oxytocin. Thank goodness when he's doing things in our life, we get the good hormones, and he designed us that way. But that don't mean that I'm saved. Let me encourage you. I'm not going to stand in the role of ever determining who's saved or not. That's not my role. Don't need to catch that. And if you're tempted to try to help people convinced they're saved or unsaved, that's not what God has you there for. I need to pause for that for a minute so you can catch that. He's the judge. He determines who's saved and unsaved. There's only one judge. We are messengers of hope. We give a message of hope. And we point to him because as we're walking by faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, right? And so we want to see Jesus. Anybody want to see Jesus? And there's a way that you can see him right now. He reveals himself through a group that have received him in their heart. And they're allowing him to manifest. He is the kingdom. He is the kingdom. And the kingdom has come to us. And it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Spirit. And so, after service, beginning next weekend, we're going to be meeting. And I'm encouraging you, don't run away if you got questions. All God's asking me to do is hang out with you. He'll meet us and he'll give the answer. And you won't be able to say Dwayne Lowe gave you answers. You'll be able to say the Lord talked to me and I heard his voice. So I want to encourage you today. There's some things that we need that we just don't have. And I need to know what it is I really need. Give you a quick example, then I'm going to jump right into this for the next 30 minutes or so and talk to you about how the Lord's given me a burden about serving, amen, his mission and his kingdom. Remember this, when I'm walking by faith, I'm literally pleasing God while serving others. I'm not pleasing others while serving God. Amen? Are y'all tracking with me? Faith is the fact that I please God. That's the only thing that'll please God. Everybody agree? Faith is what pleases God. Well, how can you please God and others too? You can't. So walking by faith is simply the fact that you please God while serving others. Amen? And I don't serve you well to think that I'm the Bible answer man. Remember this, you need Jesus, not Dwayne Lowe. You need something that's greater than I am. And if I'm experiencing it and I'm enjoying it, I want you to have it. And together we'll walk by faith, amen, and be brothers and sisters as we honor our Father and his mission in this earth. Is that okay? I was in prayer one morning, and why God uses an old country boy that needs him more than anybody else in the earth still blows my mind. But for some way, God gets through this hard head and convinces me during my prayer time, you know, because I talk too much too. You know, this be quick to listen, slow to speak thing is important. Anybody ever go to prayer and talk too much? Okay. Well, somehow he convinced me I needed to walk across the street at dark. That this is a miracle. It's dark. I'm not afraid of the dark, but I'm afraid of the people in the house because they may shoot me through the door. He tells me to go knock on a door of a particular house because there was a man in there that needed something that he didn't have. And he's in that shower praying, Lord, if you care, if you love me, if you're real, send someone to tell me that you love me, if you're real. And when he came out of that shower to answer the call that was at that door, he broke. And he knew God was real. Because that's what I went to tell him. God told me to tell you, he loves you. And I'm not super spiritual. We're all spirit beings. But God will use anybody he can get just to pay attention for a moment and say, yes, Lord. But I recognize something. Because of the oxytocin, he's saying, man, I believe God's real. He's confessing God's real. I believe that. Amen. He's got some hormones that's coming in, and he's excited. He's with joy. God sees me. And right now, his wife just left him, and he's by himself, and his world's caved in, and God let him know I'm right there with you. That's awesome, isn't it? And so I prayed with him. Man, he was encouraged, but I knew that the enemy wasn't going to leave him alone. And he was going to need something he didn't have. And I'm saying this because I want to read some things to you. I'm going to tell you, God will use the preacher up to a certain point. And then he don't need the preacher. Amen? So he comes back because he's really tormented by the fact that his marriage isn't working, things are just crashing, and yet I know God sees me. And I said, well, if I was to introduce something to you that would kind of let the Lord come on in and take over in your life, would you be interested? Yeah. And so I started sharing with him the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. How he could identify with the cross of Jesus Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. And when I began to share how repentance was identifying with his death, and how that remission of sins was identifying with his burial, remission of sins happens where? In the water. And that if he would go that far with it, God would meet him there and fill him with his spirit. And while I was telling him that, the enemy showed up and started coming at him. He fell to the ground. And man, the devil didn't want to give him up. And he come to himself and realized, what's going on in me? The devil don't want to give the house he's living in up. But when you agree with the message of the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ and you repent and you go down in that watery grave, he's through with me. He's ready for you and him to come together now and resurrection to happen. Spirit and fire. This is an important message to you today because he didn't call his sons and daughters to judge. He called his sons and daughters to be about his mission and to get a hold of him in such a way to let him get a hold of us until we become the message of the kingdom wherever we go. You are a written epistle read and owned of all men. The enemy does not like the cross of Jesus Christ. And he certainly doesn't like the idea that those keys that were given to Peter 2,000 years ago in Matthew 16 unlock some things, loose some things into the earth and in heaven. He don't like that. But he didn't do that to give us this liberty to measure people lost are saved. He says, you invite them to come go with you and follow you as you follow me. And when they get their legs on them, when they get their legs under them, they can continue to walk and they can invite other people to follow them. Amen. As they follow me. And when they get their legs under them, you know, faith has some legs to it. It's been said that belief is faith with legs. Well, is it possible for me to have faith and not have any legs? Nope. Well, that's what James says. You can't have faith and not have legs. Let me read you a few scriptures so that you understand today that God wants you to know that there's nothing that can separate you from his love. This is important for you to get a confidence in Christ to where you know that whatever the circumstances and situations are, nothing can separate you or distance you from him. Nothing. He knows exactly where you are. It says this in relationship to faith, and so that you know today, faith can be defined simply as Adam walking with the voice of God. That's what faith is. Where does it say that in the Bible? All over it. All over it. To me, I may not say it to you yet, but you tune your ear in for station identification. You start listening to God and see if all of a sudden then you recognize a relationship between you and him. You don't have to understand nothing anymore. It's like, I don't need to understand nothing. I got a hold of something. He got a hold of me. And I'm just good. Whatever he says, man, if it looks like walking on water, I'm out. I'm in. Let's go. If everything seems like it's caving in, that's where I'm going to be. Because he said it. And I don't have to understand. I am experiencing peace and joy that's beyond my ability to comprehend. Anybody want to go there? But the temptation is always going to be, I need to understand. And that's the enemy's way of imprisoning you. And let me tell you something. Anybody that really needs to understand, this is how I can tell you, you're drunk on the need to understand, is you're still regretting some things. You still resent something. Anybody ever regret or resent anything? We all need to run to the altar. I got you. If resentment and regret is in your spirit right now, and you're just tormented with it a little bit, you know, nobody really can say it, but boy, what's going on? You're still imprisoned to a lie. And that lie is sin. I'm not talking about murdering somebody or saying bad words and robbing a bank, perversion. That lie is this need to be in charge. I claim my right to myself. The only reason regret and resentment can stay in the mix is because you can't help but try to be in charge. And that's the sin that God came to eradicate. Get that out of the mix, and he gets to be king of his kingdom, and all of a sudden, it really don't matter what he's saying. You see, obedience is better than sacrifice. But until you meet the Lord on the level he wants you to meet him, you're willing to just sacrifice some things because you get some oxytocin when you do. When you go feed the poor and when you write that extra check out or you do oxytocin and so you feel good about it. I'm sacrificing. What God prefers is obedience. But it's hard to obey when I'm in prison to this idea that I need to be in charge. And so obedience is a bad word. Why is obedience a bad word? Because I'm in charge. And for me to obey, I've got to relinquish charge and let the Lord be the king of his kingdom in my life. Is that interesting, y'all? And so we need something that we don't have. So what is it that I really need? So it's my intention today, before I quit here in the next few moments, is to convince you don't need me. I want to get the preacher out of the mix because, you know, we need a preacher up to a point. And God deemed it that way so that you and I could enjoy the miracle. Amen. Faith. Got to have legs, right? James 2:18. But someone might object and say one person has faith and another person has works. Go ahead then and prove to me that you have faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by works as proof that I believe. You can believe all you want that there is one true God. That's wonderful. But even demons know that there's know this and tremble with fear before him, yet they are unchanged. They remain demons. Has anybody ever said, you know, why don't I change? Why am I still acting like a knucklehead? You didn't say it out loud. You got up in the morning, you looked in the mirror and said, man, you're messed up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I believe in Jesus. Man, I go to church. I do all kind of good stuff, but man, what's wrong with me? And you think you live by faith, but the evidence that you're not changed is the fact that you don't have faith. Why you got to be so pointed with that, Pastor? Because I'm talking to the guy in the mirror. I'm not talking to anyone here. And I have real talk, amen, in the process of being changed into our Father's image. Real talk. And Daddy loves that, but it helps him have access to his house. And so, what do I really need? How would I know what I need? I want to ask you a pointed question now. Among the people that you hang out with, your circle of influence, who do you know in your circle of influence that demonstrate the beatitudes of Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Spirit? Pause for effect. And if you do know some, it's very few, because Jesus said it would be that way. Very few. The Lord told me to tell you today that you want to be a part of that group. You want a group with a group that demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit and the Beatitudes. Because Jesus loves the other group, they need him. And he don't want you distracted with all the religious vortex and lies that are going on. Because you can get sucked in to a religious world, amen, and you can actually lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And you can cast out demons and they'll flee. And you can do wonderful, wonderful things for Jesus, but never be a part of the Beatitude group. Oh, by the way, those signs and miracles follow the Beatitude group too. Good point, right? So the enemy's shaking in his pointed toe boots right now, and he doesn't like what we're talking about because we're taking the mask off of him right now. And he's got to face the fact that you're going to make a decision today, not on the fact that you can sacrifice and feed the poor and do wonderful things and cast out demons and lay hands on the sick. And the evidence that God just loves people, he'll use anybody. But only a few be there that find the straight gate. And you know those few by the fruit they bear. And the fruit is the Beatitudes that he introduced in Matthew 7. So take the time and evaluate your circle of influence and the relationships you have and find the group that love to come together and participate in the spirit of unity and host the mind of Christ. Because when you join that group and make up your mind, I'm going to walk, amen, with the body of Christ, your invitation to them that are without, that God's in love with, will be more attractive. At that point, you become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So what is it that I really need? I'm glad you asked. We'll read you something that Jesus said in Luke chapter 24. Oh, by the way, before I do that, can you imagine Jesus having an iPhone? Why did you have to do that, Pastor? Well, you know his disciples were always wondering, where he's at? Where's Jesus at? They'd still be depending on Jesus if he had an iPhone. And we need to depend on Jesus. But at some point, you got to get discipled. Can you imagine Jesus having an iPhone and him try to get away from him and just see, do what I ask you to do. They're texting him. Sending emails. Calling. No, he went away from them on purpose so that they could learn how to walk and get some legs to their faith. Show me some legs. I don't care if they're hairy and ugly. Is this okay? We need something that moves forward, and Jesus gives us directives on what moves him and brings us into a place where our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And only he can determine when that happens. And so we're before his mercy and his grace every day, aren't we? I can never really get this place where I got it together. I got it, Lord. I'll let you know if I need you. I've tried that before. That bites. But Jesus is out of the grave now in Luke 24. And he says to them before he ascends into the clouds, these are the words which I spake to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Highlight this in your mind. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Most likely right now, there's some here today that will not comprehend what I'm about to read next. Why? Because you need him to open up your understanding. I can't. I'm still going to read this. But you need him to talk to you. I can quote it, and I can quote it all day. That don't mean I understand it. I need something I don't have. And right now, most of us will all agree we need more faith. We need a fresh word from heaven. Every relationship in this room, every marriage in this room needs a fresh word from heaven. And when you get it, quit trying to understand it. Obey it. Embrace it. Say, yes, Lord. Be dead to yourself. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This message of the cross begins at Jerusalem. And by the way, Peter is the one delivering it to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. 33 years ago, I came and the Lord said, tell this and don't preach nothing else. Preach my cross and nothing else. Preach what it means for you to come into covenant with me. Amen. You do your part, son. I'll pick up where I'm finished with you, and I'll take them on. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. They did just that. 120 of the group that heard him that day. There was a greater group that didn't show back up to Jerusalem, but 120 did. You see how it is, ladies and gentlemen? We may or may not do the will of God. We may or may not obey. We may or may not have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, not by the Bible, but hearing by the word rendered voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. He or she that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. To that one will I give a crown of righteousness, and they shall overcome. Is this true? Oh, so where are you going with this, Pastor? I'm going to take you here the next 3 or 4 minutes where I'm going to get out of the way and let you and Jesus just have fun. Philip was a follower of Christ, a disciple. He finds his way to Samaria, and he preaches the word to them, Jesus Christ crucified. And in that chapter, as he's giving them the message, they receive what he's saying. And miracles and signs and wonders were done. And wow, people were delivered, and they were all baptized in his name. But it says there in chapter 8, but yet none of them had received the Holy Spirit. They had all met the point of repenting. They met the point of covenant by going down in the water. That's by faith. Everything's by faith, y'all. Did y'all know Jesus Christ crucified and faith go together? It's got legs on it. Amen. There was a man by the name of Simon the sorcerer. He was great among the group of the Samaritans, and he noticed that this message was swaying all of his clients. And he too agreed and was baptized in the name of Jesus too. And when Jerusalem heard what was happening, they sent Peter and John so that they might lay hands on them and them receive the Spirit. Yeah, that happened. What I want you to notice in that passage, if you go back to Acts 8, and it says that there was great joy in verse 8. There was great joy in that city. This is so important as we go forward now. Well, everything's got to be okay. They don't need anything else. Great joy has come, right? But as you read on, you find out, See, we can get joy when we find out God sees us. We can get joy when I hear something that I can agree with that sounds significant. I get joy when I understand something. I get excited about it. I understand you sent me a $200,000 check. Oh, my God. Pastor Lowe, quit playing with us. No, I'm just telling you. Joy comes in all kinds of ways. But the apostles at Jerusalem heard they hadn't received the Spirit yet, the promise of the Father. Because that's important for empowerment. Anybody want to deal with the guy in the mirror? The girl in the mirror? You're going to have some power to do that. Because the girl and the boy in the mirror ain't going to body slam you every day. Because you're always going to depend on your intellect to perceive God, His Word, religion, and you've already measured everything grandma, grandpa, and aunt and uncle said, and this is who we are, and you're going to stay in that prison until you finally let go and let God come take over His house and clear out all the information that didn't come from heaven. It came from sin. Because most of the people that go to church, just like me and you, we all have to deal with this claim to this right to ourselves. And not everybody that I know has dealt with that because they're still satisfied with this oxytocin relationship. You know, just doing a lot of work, but not walking with Jesus. It's real. And so Peter and them came and they laid hands on them, which infers that everyone that was repentive, amen, they measured up to the death of Jesus Christ. They were buried in water. They measured up to the burial of Jesus Christ. They needed to be resurrected to receive the message of the cross. Got to have resurrection to agree with that message. And they went, and everyone that did that, they laid hands on them. They all received it. And when Simon the sorcerer saw this, he thought to himself, I can buy this. And Peter let Simon the sorcerer know, now keep in mind, he repented. He'd been baptized in the name of Jesus. And Peter says, you need to go back and repent. You're in darkness. You need to pray that God will forgive you for this. Go back and re-identify yourself. You missed the mark on it. You didn't get it. How many people in our world today didn't get it? And I'm not judging nobody, but Jesus is telling me you want to be a part of the group that produced the fruit of the Spirit and the Beatitudes. Did you put the Beatitudes up there today? Because there's some here that may not know what they are. They'll throw them up there. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the... You know, every one of those Beatitudes have legs to it. And it identifies with Christ. You want to be a part of that small group. And it's a small group. Only few be there that find it. I'm going to close in the next few moments, but I want to finish off Acts 8 with Philip. Philip is provoked by the Spirit, moved by the Spirit. And he goes out into a desert place, led by the Spirit. Ain't logical. Why am I going to the desert? Gonna make me go on a 40-day fast? What's the deal here? He didn't care. He's obedient. Yes, Lord. When he gets out there in the wilderness area, he sees a chariot going by with a group. And the Spirit says, run and join yourself with that chariot. And he did. And he jumps on the back of that chariot. And he says to the man there, which was an Ethiopian eunuch, he said, what are you reading? And he's reading out of the book of Isaiah. He said, you understand what you read? He said, how can I? Says some, unless someone show me. And Philip knew that the presence of God was on him, so God's going to be doing the talking right now. And he began to expound to him as the Spirit unction led him about what he was reading. And while they're in the desert, a desert, y'all, the Ethiopian eunuch sees water and says to him, here's water. What is hindering me from being baptized right now? And Peter said, oh, well, if you can believe in your heart right now and confess with your mouth Jesus means repent. That's what that means. If you can identify with his death and you want to agree with everything about Jesus Christ and his mission, come on. Let's go down that water. We can be buried with him now because that's the identity you're going to be taking on. When Philip buries him in that water and he comes up out of that water, the Spirit catches Philip away. And the Ethiopian eunuch couldn't find him. He's gone because God don't need the preacher now. Philip led him to the cross as far as he could lead him. And the Lord picked up there, just like the Lord wants to pick up in every life. What is it that I really need? And you can't exhaust this message. We're just starting. The Lord prompted me early this morning to back up to where Tony left off. He said, I want you to go after all my kids, son. And don't you deviate from the message I came and I delivered. There's so many out there that want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. So many out there, but our world is filled with religious ideas. I've been impacted by it. I'm here compassionate towards everybody that's been impacted by all kinds of religious thoughts, religious voices. My goodness, I'm still being delivered from it. And I can assure you there's no one here exempt to that. But his message is not watered down. And what it took for 120 at Pentecost, and what it took for a city called Samaria, and what it took for Judea and Cornelius' house, while he yet preaches the word, the Spirit falls on them. They're filled with the Spirit. And then Peter says, oh, come on, let's go down to the water. Let's finish this covenant of Jesus Christ crucified. Let's put some legs on your faith. Amen. Let's pick up the other end of the rope and say, Lord, I got it. I'm going to find somebody else that ain't got no legs, and I'm going to invite them to come walk with me as I follow you till they got their legs under them, and then they can do the same thing. But this is an eternal gospel. It's an eternal message, and it don't change. I haven't found it anywhere in Scripture where God did away with water baptism. I don't find any suggestions of it anywhere. I've got some religious interpretations that I've entertained before that maybe it's not necessary, but to find it in the Bible, I hadn't found it. But he says, you go after my kids because I want them to be identified with me because they get my identity in the water. That's where they're buried. After they repent to their lifestyle of my claim to my right to myself, you got to repent of that. And you let go of being in charge. Now I'm going to take you down into the water. Amen. Just like I went in water to fulfill righteousness, and I'm going to give you my righteousness because you're obedient. That brother, when I was telling him this message, the enemy screamed out of him. And he says, what's wrong with me? What's going on? He didn't know he had that in him. In America, it's domesticated. In America, we call it names. We give medication for it because we're smart. And we play God in America. And I love my nation. I'm not being negative towards my nation. Thank you, Jesus, for America. But my country needs Jesus. My country needs a miracle. They need Jesus Christ crucified. And I watched my grandmother, which got my attention. She needed something. And she needed to be a witness when she was 90 years old. God was getting my attention big time between 80 and her coming, becoming 90, watching what it looks like to be a part of that group that bear the fruit. And you heard me say it before, picking up that phone at 80 when she's not driving very much at all. And she could drive, but she just wouldn't. She picked the phone up by faith. Got some legs on that faith. And wait till the Spirit prompted and called that number. By faith. Had no clue what God was going to say. Didn't know who she was going to be talking to. But by faith, she was walking on water. Every time, they were impacted. Miracles happened. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. They came to church. At 80 years old, she's able, okay, to get them to a place of repentance, letting go and letting God be Lord. And then she had this way of encouraging them into the water. And after she'd get them in the water, like she disappeared. God's got it now. And resurrection began to happen. Somebody needs to be resurrected today. There's some relationships that need resurrection today. There's some miracles that need to happen today. But why have all the miracles and the signs and the wonders and not the King of his kingdom in his house? Why be blessed with finances and stuff and not have the one that makes all the difference as Lord of his house? What have you got? Vanity and vexation of the spirit. But if we let him come to his house and take over, and we receive the promise, and by way of experience, we catch the breath of God, and we now have faith on the next level that now, oh, Adam is walking with the voice of God. Just imagine what could happen, huh, Caroline? You know, don't you? Is this truth?
So true. Go and get it.
Led you to the water, and it was over with then. Daddy took it, didn't he? Anybody need something you don't have? Are you finding out what it is you really need today? This is the day that the Lord hath made. We get to rejoice in it and be glad. We get to do an inventory, make sure, you know what? I think I'm going to be a part of the right group. I don't like that word, not the right group. In any case, the other group's wrong. That's not the point. No. No. God loves the other group. Oh, does he love the other group? But he's got to have a group that lets him be Lord so that they can be salty and not judge the other group. And I'm just telling you, there's all kinds of darkness and ugly and demonic activity going on. He didn't call us to be negative. He called us to be light, to be salt. And by way of the fruit of the Spirit, just like him, let them taste and see that the Lord is good. Does anybody want to be like Jesus? He ain't beating nobody up. He'll let you smack him and he'll turn the other cheek. He'll let you crucify him. And all the while, he's getting through to you every time you stroke him and every time you spit on him. You're realizing, man, this guy loves me. He cares for anybody beat the Lord up before? And he lets you do that because he wanted you to experience his love. And boy, did I have some religious spears to throw at him. Some mindsets that were messed up. Could we stand? Thank you, Father. To the guests that are here, I know you feel and sense the oddness of God's presence. And Daddy is after you. But we make it as comfortable and as easy as we can here at New Life to make the journey light and easy for you. Because the Lord wants you to know that his yoke is not heavy, it's light, and it's easy. But he ain't changing. The thing that's going to help you win and get you into that overcomer victory that you need is going to be the power of his Spirit and fire. Without him, you can do nothing. And the only way he comes to his house is in a baptism of Spirit and fire. You may get some oxytocin too with that. Probably. But the evidence is you're going to be like him. You're going to walk like him. You're going to bear the fruit of that Spirit, and the Beatitudes are going to manifest. Anybody want to be like Jesus? The altar team's coming. Thank you, Father, for your presence right now. And we welcome you to join us up here if you want more than what you have already. And by the way, to all the believers of New Life Fellowship, hear me. You should be wanting more. But I got a lot. Oh, you need some more. The Lord's been good to me. Oh, he's going to be better than that. Why? Why? Because he has you on mission. And you're going to need all of him you can get to fulfill his mission and walk by faith. Please him. Walk by faith. Please God while serving others. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Thank you for the invitation of heaven that you've given to all of us. Me first. I need more of you, Daddy. Thank you, Lord. Like you did at Pentecost, like you did in Judea and Samaria, like you did in Cornelius' house. Let your wind blow. Let your fire fall. Let hearts be changed. And let there be a miracle in these relationships, Lord, that you're so in love with every daughter, and every son you put together. Let them know what it's like for you to be king of your kingdom in their home, in their neighborhood, in their city. Make them mighty for you, Father. Fill them with your fire in Jesus' name. Can we lift our hands to heaven and ask Daddy to pick us up as his kids? He's ready to embrace you right now. Come on, if you want deeper waters, you want fire from heaven, let us pray with you today. God bless you.